to us. And I am so glad we sang that song tonight, because I will be preaching a little bit about the goodness of the Lord tonight. Amen. I felt that in my heart for a while, and I was kind of hoping we'd sing the song some at one point in time. Well, it just worked out tonight. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 104. Psalms 104 tonight. Once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for your worship. And just been a good day in the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. I love the Lord's day. Amen. This isn't the Sabbath day. This is the Lord's day. Amen. Resurrection day. Thank God that he got up from the grave, and we get to come and celebrate in the goodness of the Lord. I will be honest with you. I have a lot of verses to read tonight, 23 in total. So, but anyhow, they used to tell me when I was younger, don't read more than 7 verses or you'll lose everybody. Well, tonight, just stay with me. Amen. And I hope you read more than 7 verses throughout the week. Amen. But for some people, in reality, this is the only place they get the Bible reading in. So we're going to make sure you get it in tonight. Amen. Psalms 104. And as I'm reading this, you may even ask, Brother Derek, what does this have to do with the goodness of the Lord? And we will expound on that as we move forward in this sermon. Psalms 104 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou covereth it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. They turn not again to cover the earth, to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow from the cattle, and the herb from the service for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens the man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God for God. The sun arises, they gather themselves together, and they lay them down in their dens. Notice verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work, to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all, and the earth is full of thy riches." That's a lot of reading. It's a lot of unique old English in there. Amen. Talking about all these deep and unique insights into this world in which David is praising the Lord for. But I want you to notice there, and we're not going to expound on this too much before we preach, but notice here he talks about how a lot of these are the benefits of man. Isn't it amazing when you look around at this earth and all of its beauty? The oceans, the seasons, the plants, the food, the animals, and how man is the crowning of creation, and that this is a habitation for humanity. We are blessed. We are blessed. And I want to preach to you today on goodness calls. On goodness calls. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight in this service, we've already worshiped you. Thank you for your goodness. We love you with all of our heart here this evening. God, we glorify your holy name. We ask you to have your way in this service. God, thank you for the goodness of the Lord. I would right now in the name of Jesus, you'd come by with fresh unction, fresh anointing. I cannot minister effectively without your presence and your power here tonight. We need your touch tonight in this service. God, have your way among us. Touch your people. We love you with all of our hearts. You've been good to us, Lord. You've been so good to us. Lord, we feel the goodness of the Lord calling us into a deeper relationship. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The psalmist begins with these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Then the psalmist, as you would notice as I had read to you, begins to detail and be specific of why he is praising and giving honor to the Almighty God. He begins to list all those unique things, and for sake of time tonight in your hearing, I will not read through all of that again, because we realize there he begins to list all of these very unique things that I believe only somebody underneath the inspiration of God could write such profound things as we have read right there. To many people in this world, verses like that we read in Psalms 104, as it's talking about creation, talking about the angels and the clouds and the springs and the animals and all these things, to many people in this world, verses like that are very boring to them, because it does not include money, it does not include big houses, it does not include anything that the modern church would be so energized to praise the Lord for. But this is a declaration of the provisional glory of God, about how God has created and how God has provided and how God has sustained. That's what the psalmist is worshiping the Lord about right there. That he looks around and realizes that all of this in his vast design is God's magnificent provisional providing things that he has given us to humanity, that we can make it and be alive. That's why he says that all these things that he lists, he says, for the service of man. This world here is developed so that we can live here and that we can be sustained here and that we can enjoy the goodness of the Lord here. But we understand the heart of humanity refuses to acknowledge the goodness of God. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to do it tonight for sake of time, but I was going to take you to Psalms 107, as the psalmist says several times, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works too. Notice that. To the children of men. God in His wonderful works has designed this that has benefited it's humanity. He even goes on to say there in 104, it says that the wine maketh glad the heart of man, the oil to make his face shine, and talk about the bread that gives him strength so that he can go out and do his labors throughout the day. God has created all of these things in His goodness, but the psalmist would say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of man. I read this one time, and I think I'll share this paragraph with you. But one writer says it just like this. He said, it is unique that we have come to rely on God to rebuke us in order to move us. He has to chasten us in order to awaken us, and He has to convict us to get us to see. However, in the reality of the heart of God, His intent is that the goodness of God would be the call to humanity that we would worship Him. What the writer was saying is this, is that oftentimes God has to rebuke us or chasten us or allow us to go through these stretchings and these trials just so that we'll come to church and lift our hands up and say, God is good, when naturally God shouldn't have to do none of that. You should naturally praise the Lord before His goodness. God would much rather draw you by His goodness and His magnificent works. He would love for you just to naturally just to worship Him like I believe many of you do. But sad to say, it takes some people to go through a trial or a tragedy before they come around to repentance and beginning to worship the Lord. God naturally just wants to worship you and draw you with His goodness. That is the mind of God when He deals with us. Not so much that He needs to rebuke us or has to rebuke us, because He wants His goodness to be the very thing that draws us to praise and to worship and to faithfulness. God doesn't want to have to always hang some form of judgment over our heads to get us to praise Him and worship Him. God's way of dealing with man is always love and blessing first, and He only resorts to them other things when man is hard-hearted and will not naturally worship God for His goodness. God's blessings are real on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, as the Bible tells us. There's sinners out there today who are benefiting from the goodness of God, and they do not even realize it.
They don't even understand that the very air that they breathe and the very food that sustains them is because of the goodness of God. Now, those sinners will never praise the Lord. Those sinners will never really wholeheartedly surrender to Christ. They will not do that. But I'll tell you this, as a believer, as the old saying is, I do not want any rocks to cry out for me. Amen. He's been way too good for me not to come to church, and for me not to rejoice, and for me not to praise Him. He's been too good to Derek Jones for me not to do that. Because of God's benefits and His blessings, there's two things that can happen to you. Number one, and what you should do is that you should praise the Lord, and you should naturally serve the Lord. Why? Because He's been so good to us. It should be our natural mindset to say, how can I not praise Him? And how can I not serve Him? He's just been that good to me. I should do that. But for those who do not praise the Lord and worship the Lord and serve the Lord, they move into a state of complacency. Then will come judgment. I'm afraid to say many who've experienced the benefits of the Lord becomes like the Laodiceans. They are increased with goods and have need of nothing. There's sometimes God blesses you, but that blessing becomes a curse because in that time of blessing you grew complacent. And you took the blessings of the Lord for granted. Now we've all done it in one form or another, but I'll tell you this, don't make it a habit. Don't make it a habit, my God. We need to worship Him and to praise Him. Many people do not recognize that the goodness of God that they are experiencing is from God. And eventually God will have to react in some way because of the abuse of His goodness. What an indictment against humanity. When God has given us so much, when God has poured out His love, He gave us His only Son. If creation was not enough, if existence was not enough, if purpose was not enough, He gave us His only begotten Son, and we should praise and we should magnify His name for doing so. There's so many interconnected blessings that we often overlook in this world. I want to show you something here this evening. I want to look at the children of Israel real quick, and I want to talk about them going into the promised land just real quick, and we'll move forward. We look at the children of Israel in the promised land, and it was a land flowing with milk and what else? Honey. Now we look at that phraseology there, and we often focus on that phrase, milk and honey. But I want to show you how the blessings of the Lord are often interconnected, and we do not pay attention to it as we should. Because look at this, if there's milk and honey, for there to be milk, there has to be cattle. And if there's cattle, there must be grass. And if there's grass, there must be fertile soil. You understand what I'm saying there? Sometimes we say milk and honey, and we forget that the blessings of God is layer on layer on layer. Just like the writer says, oh Lord, how manifold are thy works. If there's going to be milk, there has to be cattle. And if there's going to be cattle, there has to be grass. And if there's going to be grass, there has to be fertile soil. Thank God for that. But then we could talk about the honey. If there's honey, there must be a bee. Amen. And if there's a bee, there has to be flowers. Do you see what I'm talking about here today? We talk about the milk and the honey. And a lot of times we come to church and we talk about our job and our provision. And we just look at the milk that's in the refrigerator. And we look at the meat that is in the refrigerator and the freezer. But my, don't stop there, because we just go buy that off the shelf. God, thank you for the milk. Thank you for the food. But God, thank you for the cattle. Lord, thank you for the soil. God, thank you for everything and the seasons and the moon and the rain and how everything is interconnected. Church, we are surrounded by the manifold blessings of the Lord. And I think sometimes here in America and here in our Western mindsets, because we're not out there plowing the fields and because we're not out there with the yoke of oxen, we often overlook how blessed we are to walk into grocery stores and there's food stocked on the shelves and you're just looking for the aisle marker. I need cereal and I need this. I'm telling you, I've been on the mission field enough to walk in their grocery stores where they're completely bankrupt and they don't even have them. And they begin to realize this. I've been out there before beside farmers in Tanzania, Africa, when they've given prayer requests. They said, pray for rain because we want our crops to grow. Church, hear me today. In this Western world, we have become so spoiled that we just rejoice about the milk and the honey. But there's so much more that God has given us. Our text here should excite us to praise. Our text began with the praise to God, then listed some of the many reasons he should be praised. And what is listed here connects clearly to man's existence. It talks about clouds and angels and mountains and valleys and water and beasts in the field. It talks about grass. It talks about cattle. It talks about the trees full of sap and the birds in the nest. Then it talks about the sun and the moon with its seasons to work, that it works for humanity. When's the last time you stopped and said, thank God for the sun and the moon? You know, we live in America and we promote this idea, I like this season better than that season. But I'll tell you this, you need all of them. You need all of them. Amen. I can't say, look, I know it gets hot around here and I don't like the humidity no more than anybody else. But I realize this, farmers depend on that. Farmers depend on the sun and the rain. And I know we live in a fallen world and these things can work against us at times and natural calamities. But I will tell you this, we can rejoice that God has so designed this that we can live and that we can function. We need to rejoice because in our days, these elements rarely excite us to praise God. We rarely get excited about the cows out in the field that's producing the meat and the cheeseburgers that I know some of you have been eating this week as well as I have. Some of you like Chick-fil-A but forget to thank God for the chicken. We love waffle fries but thank God for the potatoes. Everybody with me here this evening? You see, the blessings of the Lord is what we often overlook. God has given us so many layers of blessings that we often overlook these things in the world that we live in. The bird sitting outside your window is singing to you every morning. And instead of complaining about the birds and the noise and the mess they make, why don't I say, God, thank you for that bird today? Because I can look at the sparrow and I can realize that if God's got his eye on the sparrow, I know he's got his eye on me. We can thank God for the cycle of life. We can thank God for fruitfulness. These are things that should excite praise in our hearts. Thank God for Monday morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody, I know those Monday mornings ain't always faithful. I mean, faithful to bring you joy. But thank God for Sundays that we can have good church to help you on Mondays. How many likes coffee? Praise God for the coffee bean. Amen. God, thank you for your manifold blessings. One preacher said it like this, a preacher named Don Schutz from Florida. He said, we sit waiting for God to bring us a bigger trinket. Then we will worship him for that new thing that he's given us. But God has been good already before he's given you anything new. We go to the doctor and the doctor said, I don't have cancer. And we say, God was good. God was good before the doctor said that. Don Schutz in his cleverness says, he said, we get excited about the penny and we never worship God for the copper mine. Thank God for all the things God's given us. Thank God for health to work on the job. Thank God you live in America. And I'll tell you this again, from traveling a little bit in this world, thank God that there's good medical practices that you can go and they can help prevent things and look out for your health. Thank God that you got clean water. Thank God for his goodness today. We should worship him for his many benefits. The blessings from God are a reflection of his goodness. Isn't it a little troubling that we analyze our own wealth by what we have? Why can't we let God's goodness motivate us instead of waiting until the house burns down before we run to an altar to seek for God's help and his blessing? For some people, everything has to go wrong before they'll really praise God like they should. Thank God for his goodness every single day. What is the intent of his goodness? Romans 2 and 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and his longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It leadeth thee to repentance. That is the intent of his goodness. But some will wait until they have lost absolutely everything before they come to that place before the throne of God. They'll go through several divorces, the loss of children. They'll lose their job. They'll lose their home altogether before they'll say, you know what, God? They may come through and lose all of that and repent and say, God, you're good. But you can experience God's goodness before you lose everything. Yes. I can't tell you how many people in this world that I know you've met a lot of them, and I have as well, that their testimony is great because the sense that They lived this life and it was complete failure, but God redeemed them out of bad situations. And they talk about the goodness of the Lord. I want to tell you, you can talk about the goodness of the Lord and never live a promiscuous lifestyle. You can talk about the goodness of the Lord and never have to experience deliverance from drugs, because God is good all the time. Hear me today, church, because this is important and we must understand this concept in Scripture. We dictate the way God has to deal with us by the way that we react to His goodness. His desire is always love and blessings, so that initially so that we can see His goodness. He don't want to have to judge us and chasten us to experience it. Number one, He wants you to know that He's a good God, and that alone right there is enough for us to worship Him. I personally believe today in prayer, preparing for this message, I believe there's a cloud over America. There's a cloud hanging over our country, and I believe God is going to eventually have to deal with us in America. And it isn't just because of homosexuality. Some people believe that's the only thing against America right now. I believe that the darkness hanging over America will ultimately erupt, demanding a response from God, because God has been so good to America and she has squandered His goodness. Matter of fact, it's people just like you who are serving the Lord, the remnant of Christ, living good lives. You are the ones that are helping keep the judgment of God at bay. Now, I know we see manifold wickedness all around us, evil things that are happening. But I'm telling you, one day there's going to be a rapture of a church. And I've told you before, this is the world you will not want to live in. Can you imagine once the church, the moral church, the holy church leaves this world? Can you imagine? It's going to be like a moral light switch going off in this world. In the sense, can you imagine all the praying saints, all the right living people, all the wise counsel, all that, when that leaves this world is going to be a morally corrupt place, even more than it is right now. I'm telling you, God's going to have to deal with America. Instead of getting closer to God, America has gone further away. Instead of putting up the Ten Commandments, the lawsuits are being filed demanding to remove the Ten Commandments. So instead of accepting the goodness of God, the beautiful homes, the transportation, all the food that we have, the gas, the cars, the airplanes, the medical care, which is second to none, goodness after goodness after goodness has been squandered. God always will respond to the oversight of His goodness. There are people who take God's goodness for granted every day. Do not let it be said of the church. Don't let it be said of the church. Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. And I know naturally we say because of homosexuality, it was more than that. That was the culmination of it. And we see things like that in our own society. I've heard a preacher say before that if God allows America to keep going on, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, He won't. We've already passed Sodom and Gomorrah. We've passed them. We live in a mass marketed media, medical things that are going on, the transgender, I could go on and on and on. I mean, giving kids hormone blockers, transgender camps, giving girls testosterone and giving boys estrogen at a young age so they can move into what they call their sexual identity. You see what I'm saying? We've moved beyond Sodom and Gomorrah. God owes no apologies to anybody. When He judges rightly at every moment. Yes. To speak of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, we often just say sexual sins or homosexuality, and yes, they were. But the real hub of all that in reality is found in Ezekiel 16 and 49. It says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy." Notice there what it mentions there. It mentions pride was the issue. Fullness of bread was the issue. They were haughty people. That's why God judged them. Yes, there was other things involved. But can we say today, do we live in a prideful generation? All in the name of self-esteem. I've got to feel good about myself, Pastor Derek. I have to. And why do you have to? I've got to be this way or dress that way or act that way or go this place or I'm not going to feel good about yourself. I don't feel too good about Derek Jones. I feel really good about God. Amen. I don't know much about self-esteem. I know a lot about Christ esteem. I esteem Christ holy and pure, and He's inside my heart, and He'll make you feel just fine. You won't need to be propped up by compliments or likes or comments on the internet. You won't have to be worried how many people like something, a picture you've taken, or you don't have to worry about how many people show up to your birthday party. I'll tell you, if nobody shows up to my birthday party, I'm okay. God's still good.
Yes, that's right.
Still welcome to come if I ever have one. I know y'all do something here for me. But do you see how the deception is in our society? We have a celebrity mentality. Everybody's a celebrity. When I was 16 years old, I did get a birthday party. Then there was some cake and ice cream, and I got a few gifts. I think it was a baseball glove. Man, I didn't know they have a show out called Sweet 16. I've seen people advertise and talk about it before. Man, they're blocking off whole highways so somebody can be a princess. That's not the right mentality to have. God's not interested in you being a princess or a prince or a king or a queen. He wants you to be a saint. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for you to be propped up by the emotions of the society. He's not looking for you to go to work and say, everybody, I'm the most popular guy or the most popular girl at school and on the job. Everybody just loves me. If nobody loves you, matter of fact, if you're living like you should, you're probably not going to be the most popular. When I was in school, they said you need to be in the in crowd. Well, my daddy had worked shoveling asphalt his whole life. I couldn't afford to be in the in crowd. I mean, every year somebody show up, look what I got. Look at this new car I've got. And I show up in that old Cavalier, which was a blessing nevertheless. I'd show up in that thing and, you know, as a 16 and 17, you didn't appreciate things like you should back then. But I realized something. I ain't worried about being in the in crowd. I'm in the in crowd because the true in crowd is going to go in the rapture. That's the in crowd I want to be a part of. Hallelujah. If we ignore God's goodness through pride, goodness ignored is judgment demanded. Goodness ignored is judgment demanded. Let me read a verse to you from Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 15. I've never seen this verse in this light before. I've read over it for years. But this is what it says. It says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Isn't that a very encouraging verse? Now, I looked at that word Jeshurun, and some people believe it's an individual. It actually represents Israel. It's used four times in the Bible, usually representing Israel in a poetic sense. It said that, let me put it this way, Israel waxed fat and kicked. Now, once again, clarify, Brother Derek, I will. Hold on. When you look at that, number one, it says they waxed fat, and then it says they kicked. What it means is that God was good to them. Fatness in the Bible was not always a negative thing. It meant God was good to you. Praise God. God's been good to Derek Jones. God's been good to you. It was an idea of abundance and excess and God's goodness to us. And I could take you to other verses, but I'll leave the point alone. But understand this. It says after that, after Israel waxed fat and kicked, which means they rebelled against God. It says, then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. Here Israel is depicted as a man made fat by God's blessings, yet no longer loving God like they should. Israel stands before God and God says, basically, I did nothing but give you goodness. I gave you more and more and more. Basically, you got fatter and fatter and fatter. You began to kick against that which is holy. Now there's something about this, friends, that we must understand. God's goodness was ignored. Then they were judged. Let me put it this way. You take the goodness of God for granted. When He's been good to you, and good to you, and good to you, and good to you. And I could say that 1,000 times here today and not exhaust His goodness. And for you to kick against God's goodness, go worship other gods, He has every right to judge you. Every child of God has experienced His goodness. Every one of us. And for us to rebel against that, it is a tragedy. Hear me today. That's why judgment is so harsh when you read it in the Bible. That's why hell is so hot in that sense, because men are not only rebelling, they are rebelling against the goodness of God. Church, hear me today. If God had done you wrong, maybe if God had messed up one time, somebody might be justified in their mind by saying, well, God messed up, that's why I took His goodness for granted. But God has never done you wrong. And God has never done nothing wrong or nobody wrong. So when you rebel against God, you are rebelling against the ultimate goodness of God. Men have rejected God's supreme affection through His Son. He is the Creator. He's given us life. So to reject Him is why humanity, when they reject Him, goes into damnation, because they are rebelling against God's ultimate goodness and affection. Anybody here today that's been around sinners at all, and especially family members, know what it is to have your affection and your love taken for granted. You ever been vulnerable to somebody you were trying to help, and you kind of put your heart out there, and they just trampled all over it? And you're sitting there crying and say, what did I do to deserve this? But can you imagine what God feels like when His affection is not limited, but it's ultimate, and it's gushing forth, and He has given you His own Son, and He has given you life, and He's given you joy, and He has forgiven you of your sins, and He sent His Holy Spirit to live within you, to reside in you. But not only that, He sent the Holy Ghost. He baptized you in the Holy Ghost. He's given you provision. All of these things for you to rebel against His goodness, it is a tragedy. That's why Adam and Eve being kicked out of the garden instead of being destroyed was actually an act of mercy. God had every right to destroy them. I've given you one commandment, Adam. Don't eat of the tree. We talked about it this morning. But what they did, they rebelled against the goodness of God. So what are you trying to say tonight, Brother Derek? I encourage you, look around. Take inventory of your life and look at the goodness of God. I'm going to share one passage of Scripture with you in closing tonight. It won't be much longer. And I want to pray. We are going to hit these altars tonight. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. This is what it says. And I'm sure that this is an amazing, almost prophetic in the way I believe this comes out in our current society. Luke 14 and 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Why not bring her? Why not bring her? He says, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21, listen to this. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Brother Derek, why did you read that? Let me share with you what God's laid on my heart. This place that was originally designed for those who had been greatly blessed was given to the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The ones who had squandered the goodness of God and had played with the holy things of God were not partakers in the end. They were so consumed with God's good things. First man said, I just bought a bunch of land, didn't it? I'm sure he was like, God's blessed me. Look at all this land. The call comes, come to the dinner. Come to the feast. No, I've got all this blessed land right here. I think I'll stay just right here. Another man got 5 yoke of oxen. And he said, you know what? I need to prove these oxen. You know, God's been so good. He gave me these oxen. Praise the Lord. God's good. Equivalent to getting a new truck or a car. God's good. Been a few of those purchased here recently in this church. Or those associated. He said, look, all these oxen, I'm blessed. I think I'll stay here. I'll break these in. And the call comes. No, he rejects that. But then there comes the other person. He says, look, I've gotten married. I got a wife. How many knows marriage is a blessing? Let me go and share this with you, because some of you, Adam Chappell got married, for those you knew Brother Adam. God still works miracles. I told him I was going to tell you that. Some of you don't know Brother Adam. He was here for a while, went to Florida to get married, and it finally happened a year later. But here this man says, I now have a wife. I'm married, and I'm not going to go. Why not bring her? He looks at that blessing, but he takes the goodness for the Lord, but yet does not heed the call. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight, there will be a dinner, and the seats will be full. Will you be there? Will you be there? Stand to your feet here this evening. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a few questions. Does God's goodness bring us to repentance anymore? The natural goodness of the Lord ought to cause you to search your heart, to fear doing Him wrong. Does God's goodness bring us to praise anymore? The goodness of the Lord should cause you to praise Him. Or does it have to be chastening or severe dealings to arouse us to our Creator? It shouldn't be. You should naturally want to serve Him and worship Him and glorify His holy name. Church, my title tonight is this: Goodness Calls. God's calling us to enjoy Him. God wants you to enjoy the Lord. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be satisfied. Hey, yes, He's given us commandments. He's given us boundaries. He's given us things we live and standards of Scripture. He's given us those things as boundaries, as I said this morning, not to take our joy, but to protect our joy. I've shared this with you many times. The reason I don't open the front door of my house and say, sweetie, tell my little daughter and son, go out and play in the front yard. Daddy's going to be here drinking a cup of coffee. Be careful. I tell them, don't you go outside. Not without supervision. Why? The reason that boundary is there is so that I can protect them. God wants to protect you so that you can enjoy His goodness. That you can enjoy His goodness. God's been good to us. God's been good. God's been good. And what I want to do in this altar call today is just once again to remind you, God's goodness calls you. If you're somebody here today that needs repentance, it shouldn't take the chastisement, shouldn't take God judging you severely for you to fall your knees and repent of your sins. It shouldn't take that. You ought to be driven just by the goodness of God alone. If you're here today and you need to worship God more, I encourage you to do so, because in worship, God can touch your heart and fulfill you as you're glorifying Him. You guess what? It shouldn't take some tragedy for you to go through a tragedy, to come on the other side of the storm to praise Him. You ought to do it naturally. You ought to do it naturally. And if you are here today, if somebody is taking God's goodness for granted, I encourage you, stop doing so and let God bless you. Come find you a place to pray here this evening. Come find a place to pray. Let God bless you. Let God help you. Let God move in your heart. Thank you for listening. God's good. God's good. Empty those pews. Pray. If you have to pray in your seat, I know it gets crowded, but God can bless us. God can help us. God can help us. Jesus, for your goodness.